We are glad that you are here today for this opportunity we have to talk together about another topic from God's Word. We are going to spend a little bit of time talking about a particular metaphor that is used in Scripture. You know, one of the important things with regard to interpreting Scripture is to take the literal things literally and take the figurative things figuratively. And the Holy Spirit actually does use various figures of speech, similes, metaphors, extended metaphors, to establish spiritual points that He desires we know for us to know God's will more fully. And what we're going to be talking about today is one such figure of speech, a metaphor that is very versatile, and that is the metaphor of a door. And the reason why it's so versatile is because, one, it is familiar to us, and it is an interesting thing, is it's not something that is new to us. We have doors in our houses. We have doors at the front of the church, but doors have existed forever. Ever since the creation of man, they have been around. Barriers, perhaps, entrances, perhaps. But these doors have various significant truths that they can bestow to us. I'll just give you, as an example, the church doors. The doors of the church remain locked during the week, and the purpose for that is to create a barrier so that the valuable things, we don't have many of them, unlike some churches, but things like the speakers or the laptop or copy machine or something like that might not be stolen because the doors are unlocked, or there are no doors at all where individuals who maybe have a malevolent motivation may come in and take things when no one's around. And so we lock the doors. During services, though, or before services, the doors, they are opened and unlocked to receive individuals. Now, because of the crime wave and the fact that churches have been sometimes targeted in regard to this, we have had to set up some care with regard to our worship services and how we receive individuals. So during the worship services, we lock the doors again. Now that's not to keep anyone out who would like to be here. In fact, we have men who are in the lobby for the express purpose. If they see someone coming to visit or a member that's running late, we will unlock the door and let them in so they don't have to stay without just because they're a few minutes late. But if we see a man walking up the steps with a shotgun in his hand, then we're going to keep those doors locked in order to create a barrier for a short period of time until we can react to that. So the doors, they serve a purpose. We do the same things in our homes. You may have heard in times past where doors were never locked in a community. No need for locking it because it is a small community or is it a peaceful community and there's no need, no theft, no murders, those kinds of things. Unfortunately, in our society, that happens less often, but there are still doors. If you're not interested in keeping individuals out, you could at least have a door to keep out the insects or the critters, and you kept them closed for that express purpose, or maybe keep out the heat of the day and allow some kind of air conditioning to take place in, or heat to take place in the domicile. And so the doors have, again, an important purpose in that regard. But once again, as a result of these existence of doors, there has developed in cultures like ours various types of etiquette. In other words, if a door is closed, you're not going to just walk through it unless the door belongs to you or unless you have a right to it. So what do? You knock on the door. And when someone who is inside hears the knock, then they will go and they will open the door. And that's a hospitable thing to do, so we could learn about hospitality and politeness with regard to these things. So there are many lessons that can be taught about the concept of doors. And there are, of course, some spiritual ones. You'll notice the text that begins our lesson, where in the book of Revelation, having reference to the Lord, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." So that's a great lesson, and I don't think we have to do a lot of explanation with regard to understanding that particular lesson, although we will refer to this passage once or twice as we get into our lesson. But I just wanted to give that as an example before we look at some other instances where the idea of a door is used to establish a spiritual truth. And so one of the first ones that I want to make note of is found in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and verses 8 and 9, where the Apostle Paul said, "I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." And so the opening of a door in this sense is intended to indicate the concept of an opportunity. And so the door is a metaphor to an opportunity. A door has opened. Where doors have been closed to me in the past, at this particular location or in this particular instance, the door was open and I was able to walk through. And we've heard individuals use those kinds of metaphors before. The Holy Spirit does it as well here. And of course, this is the opportunity to evangelize that is referred to by the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Interestingly, the phrase "great and effective" has been added to it, and the idea that it was open to him is indicative of God's providence. God intended for Paul to be successful in his ministry of the gospel of Christ in Ephesus, so he ensured that the means was available for Paul to have that success. Paul was greatly appreciative of that opportunity that had been shared with him by God providentially, and so he stayed there in Ephesus to accomplish that very purpose. So that's one example that we could talk about. We've got basically four that we're going to look at in our short lesson today. The second one is the idea of knocking. Again, you can knock at the door. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, where Jesus said this, and the specific context has reference to prayer. And so in teaching the importance of prayer to be answered by God and the diligence that we should have, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." So there are three basic descriptions or figures that are used here, asking, seeking, and knocking, but one of them is the knocking at the door. And what this indicates to us is that God has given us an avenue by which we can receive blessings from him, and that avenue is through petitions that we offer up to God in prayer. We can see from this passage just how important prayer is to us with regard to receiving blessings, both physical and spiritual. We should be diligent in our prayers that we offer to God, but we do so in the recognition and understanding that if we do knock through prayer, that is, God is just to open the door to our inquiries or into our petitions. And so that is an important point to be made here. And of course, the overall lesson, whether it be asking, whether it be seeking, or whether it be knocking, is the fact that God, if you make an effort, God is going to help you in the efforts that you make and answer those petitions. And I'll just use the other passage in Revelation 22, although the word door is not used in this. I want you to recognize that this has a part to play in our own salvation. We have to ask for salvation. We have to seek salvation. We have to be desirous of opening the door. In other words, there is something that is expected of us. We have used the text of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 to teach this many, many times. As the gospel is preached, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." And that would, if we were to use the figure of the door, would be some, they will hear the gospel, but they will not approach the door. They will not knock on the door. They will not seek entrance into this relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they remain without, and they remain judged by God as a result of that. Well, that's exactly what is indicated in Revelation 22 in verse 17, when he says that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him hear. Who hears, say, "Come," and let him who thirsts, come, and whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. And so recognize there are conditions to our salvation. It is not that God desires that we should be without. It is that he requires that we serve him in order to receive those blessings. And some might consider that an impediment, but if you think about it, if there is that desire to go and to open the door or knock to have it opened to you, that is indicative, again, of effort on our part, a desire on our part to be acceptable to God and to be saved, and that desire is necessary for our salvation. So that's another good point that can be made from this. The third one that I want to note is that opening of the door. Now this, we're going to flip it just a little bit, because that's what is done in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, because Jesus on this occasion is the one who is standing without. He is outside of our house, our domicile. So what is it when Jesus is outside? Do we know that he's outside? Because we are told that he is. We are told in verse 20, "Behold," by these words of Jesus, "I stand at the door." And not only is he standing at the door, but he knocks. It's kind of an interesting thing. Now, my grandkids don't knock anymore because they know what the lock deal is. And so whenever they're coming over, we don't really have to open the window and see if they're coming or not, because we hear the lock opening. Because they run out of the car, they run to the door, and the first one that can get there is the one that gets to push the buttons. And then here all four of them come in and just take over the house. And that, we love that. But that idea of opening it, they let us, they announce that they're here. And that's how they announce it to us, because we hear the lock of the door. But Jesus is a polite guest, desiring entrance into us, desiring entrance into a relationship with us. And when we say a polite guest, it is something he earnestly desires, but because of the way God has created us as creatures of free will, he does not compel us to accept him. God certainly has the ability, if we want to extend that metaphor, to knock the door down, doesn't he? And he could take over if he so desired, but he did not create us in that way, and he has no desire. He desires our salvation, but he does not compel us. That's one of the important things to note about being made in the image of God, and to recognize what it is that God wanted for us when he created us, to create individuals, entities who could willingly come to him and offer up praise and worship to him. And that's what Jesus offers to us. So he stands at the door and he knocks. And we are told in verse 20, if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, this is the promise, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And so here we see the opening of the door to our Lord allows us to be in that relationship. But keep it in mind, because there are some that I don't open my door to. I remember, this was well before this became well known as a tactic of sometimes people in the middle of the night will bang on your door saying they need help and all, and you open it up and they rob you or something like that. But when we lived in Tucumcari, New Mexico, both of us, a very young married couple, and both of us actually kind of children in naivete, that's exactly what happened. A banging at the door scared me half to death. And they were wanting in. And at first it was just a woman. And we said, no, we can't let you in. We'll make a call. We'll call the police for you. And just stay here. There was no one with her. And then shortly her husband, he shows up. And he wants in too. And they didn't want us to call the police. And so we called, I don't know if we called the police or not. Debbie doesn't even remember this particular occasion, but it scared me half to death. But there are certain ones we aren't going to open up to, but the fact is that we want to open up to Jesus, because he is a benevolent friend. He is one who is our Lord and our Savior, and blessings come as a result of that. And anyone who wants to bless my house is welcome to come in. It's the ones who are the ne'er-do-wells that I want to keep out, but Jesus certainly is not one of those. And so it's an apt description that is given of the concept of the door. And then the final point that we want to make is taken from John chapter 10 and verses 7 through 9. And here we want to consider the door as a barrier. It is an obstacle that distinguishes between those who are within and those who are without. And so in John 10 and verse 7 through 9, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." as reference to those who are His. He is the door. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. But I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so again, that is, now we're the ones without. We're the ones that need entrance for protection, for this relationship. And because Jesus is the door, because Jesus is legitimately the one who owns the house. Do you remember the description that is given of Moses, who was a servant in his house, but Jesus is the son, the house belongs to him? Jesus has the right to open the door to whomever he wishes. And he says as this, and of course this is a series of metaphors that he used, because he later talks about the fact that he is the shepherd and a few verses later. But here in this particular verse, I am the door, and if anyone enters, he will be saved. And so now we go back to that concept of what we read in Mark 16:16. It gives us some understanding, doesn't it? So he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. Who does Jesus open the door to? To those who believe in him as the Christ and are willing to be obedient to his dictates, to his commands. Those individuals receive the blessings that come, the sitting down, going in and out, finding pasture, dining with him, all of those expressions that are given in Scripture indicating a very close kinship and relationship. But understand that there are many. You want another metaphor? We're told that the gate is narrow that leads to life, and there are few that will find it. The gate is broad that leads to destruction, and many will go therein. The way is broad. The gate is wide. You see the metaphors again? There are many who are unwilling to go through the door, unwilling to accept that invitation of Jesus, so the door remains a barrier to them. It doesn't have to be. But in this particular passage, there is an indication that for some, it truly is. And so again, a versatile metaphor that gives us some, I think, interesting and beneficial lessons to learn. But what I want to do is end our time together this morning with an invitation and just a thought for you to consider, each and every one who is here today. So if we were using that word door as indicative, as we did in the first point, the Apostle Paul, a great and effective door has opened to me. If we see a door, and a door that is able to be opened for you and I, that's the question that we want to ask. Do you have the desire to have the door opened to you? Well, if that is the case, with regard to your redemption, with regard to your salvation, then as we note, as we look through all of the various aspects of this metaphor, if you want to go through the door, Jesus wants to open the door up to you. So what is required? If there is that agreement on both sides, all you have to do is to know, or to let him know, that you want in. And so there we get the idea of knocking and having the door open and then walking through the door. And that's really a man's part in the scheme of redemption. The hard part's done. God extended his grace to mankind in the sending of his Son. Jesus, actually, because he loved man so much, was willing to come to this earth and die on the cross at Calvary. He shed his blood, the guiltless, for those guilty of sin, that we might be saved. And that's what he is willing to do for every single one of us. And so, going back to what was stated in Revelation 22, not only the Spirit and the Bride, but Jesus himself says, come. The door there is an opportunity. It is an invitation that is given by God, that if you will seek it, if you will knock, if you will be willing to show yourself to be interested and ready to be saved, then Jesus will open that door and you can go in and dine with him. So he's done the hard part. All you have to do is knock and open. And we do that through calling on the name of the Lord. And Scripture teaches the way in which we do that is responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Are you sorrowful for the sins that you committed? Are you willing to determine today to no longer live that way, but to change your life? Are you penitent? Are you willing with courage to stand before everyone and confess, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and risk the displeasure, the rejection of men because you stand with Jesus? Are you willing to have your sins washed away through the waters of baptism? If you're here today, whatever it is that is your need, but especially if you're not yet a child of God and you want to become one, the offering is given to you, the invitation is extended. If you have a need, would you come now while together we stand and while we sing?